was fantastic, wasn't it? Seeing the two of them confirm and tell the world that they love Jesus and that they're following him. When Astrid and I moved into our last house, when we lived in Tunbridge, we moved there about 14 or 15 years ago. And when we moved in, we had a back garden, which was mainly lawn. And down at the far end of the garden, we had a shed. And we used the shed for storing garden tools and other things that belonged to Astrid, really. and when it was warm, it was fine. It was quite easy to get to. When it was cold and wet, it was another story, really, because the back garden turned into a bit of a swamp. The water would stand on the lawn, and it was quite soggy. But it wasn't a major problem, because it was only gardening tools, and Astrid seemed to cope. So that was fine. But a couple of years after we moved in, Astrid said to me, "You know what would be nice? Would be if we had power in the shed, so we could have a socket and have a light and that sort of thing." And I'm an obliging kind of a chap, and that wasn't funny. And so I got my spade and I started digging a trench down the back garden, the length of the garden from the house down to the shed, so we could put cables in. And this was December. I nearly froze. I nearly got trench foot. I nearly amputated my toes with my own spade twice. I could have died. But I soldiered on. And after a mere couple of months, I dug a trench the length of the garden and we buried some power cables and we had power in the shed. The next morning, Astrid said to me, "You know what would be nice? Would be if we had a freezer in the shed." And so I got on the internet and I ordered a freezer, which turned up a couple of days later, a smallish freezer. Getting a 2'8" freezer through a 2'6" shed door, it turns out to be a bit of a challenge, particularly in December when you've got trench foot. I nearly broke my back. But eventually, with a bit of bending and stretching, it went in, and at last we had frozen food in the shed. The next day, Astrid said to me, "You know what would be nice? Would be if we had a little path down the garden so we could get to the shed without paddling in the lawn." Now, I've never laid a path in my life. I've never done anything even remotely similar. Those sorts of things are a mystery to me. But I'm a compliant kind of a chap. And so I got hold of some paving slabs and I took some photos of paths that I liked so I knew kind of what I was aiming for. And I set to work. Laying a path is quite tricky, particularly in December, with trench foot and a bad back. And particularly when you've got no idea whatsoever how to lay a path. But after a mere couple of months of slaving away in the garden, we had a path. It was finished. And I've got to say, I'm not particularly easy to impress. But I was quite impressed at myself at this point. It looked gorgeous. It was smooth. It was flat. It was pointed between all the stones and it all looked... Norman, you'd have been proud. I tell you, you would have been proud. And so the next day, I put my feet up and I basked in the glory of Paul's path. It turns out there were some rather important bits of information totally missing on howtobuildapath.com. Because it doesn't say that laying a path really close to where you've just dug a trench is a particularly stupid idea. Within a couple of days, all the slabs were starting to rock. Within a week, all the cement between the slabs had cracked. And within 2 weeks, there were weeds growing up between all the slabs. Within 3 weeks, it looked more like a building site than a path. And we were going down the lawn just to stay safe when we got down to the shed. Every time you trod on a paving slab, it would squirt a jet of icy cold black water up your shin, which isn't very nice in December when you've got trench foot. The point is this. If you're going to build something, and if it's going to be worthwhile, you need to know what you're building on. If you're going to build something and it's going to be worthwhile, you need to know what you're building on, which is something Jesus knew. Actually, it's probably something everyone in the world knew more than me, but it's something that Jesus knew, and he put it like this. Let me read you some verses out of Matthew 7. Alan, did you know what I was going to preach on?
No.
I love it when God does that, don't you? In case you didn't hear it, Alan quoted these verses for Bex. Was it? Yeah. Jesus said this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand or near a trench. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. What we've seen this morning is two people publicly nailing their cars to the mast. Because Julie and Bex have both stood up to tell you... Thanks, Gaz. They both stood up to tell you, "I've heard what Jesus says, and I'm going to put it into practice. I'm building my life on the rock that is Jesus." That's what they've been here to say this morning. That's what this morning has been all about. And for both of them, at some stage, there's come a point, they may have been aware of it at that time. Bex was in August this year at Soul Survivor. For Julie, she may not have been exactly, I don't know. For some of us, we're very aware of when that point comes. And for some of us, we just look back and we sort of see it in the rearview mirror and realise that we've passed it. But for both of them, there came a point when their foundations changed. When they made a decision that above all other things, they wanted to put Jesus in charge of their lives. They wanted to build their lives on him. Now, when you look closely at the passage that I've just read, and if you look closely at what Jesus says, the great big flashing lights underlined in red, important thing about it, is that both men, Rocky and Sandman, both men heard Jesus' words. This isn't a story about one person that came across Jesus and somebody that never heard anything about Jesus. Both people heard Jesus' words. Both of them had an equal opportunity to follow him and to live their lives with him. The difference, the only difference, was what they did with that opportunity. Sandman knew who Jesus was. He knew what Jesus had to say for himself. He just decided not to do anything with what he knew. Or maybe he thought he'd wait until he was a little bit older. Or maybe he thought he'd wait until Sundays were a little bit less busy. Or maybe he thought he'd wait until Jesus had come up with a good enough answer to that one nagging question that he couldn't quite get his head round. Or maybe some other thing. But he knew. He just never followed through. Rocky, by contrast, acted on what he heard, and his foundation changed completely. And I talk to quite a lot of people that are a little bit like Sandman about getting to know Jesus. They often say things like, yes, I believe there's a God. I believe that there's more to this life than meets the eye. I believe that there's something else when we die, that that's not the end. But then they kind of shrug and say something along the lines of, but I'm not really religious. Religion isn't really for me. And that might be where you are this morning. That might be where you are. You might know that there's something there. You might know that there's something in it, but you just don't feel that religion is really for you. If that's you, I want to tell you something. You may not hear this in church very often. Jesus was 100% anti-religion. I'll say that again. Jesus was 100% anti-religion. So if that's you, you've got a friend in high places. Because religion is about jumping through hoops. Religion is about trying to get God on your side by ticking boxes that some religious leader has told you that you need to tick to get God to like you better. Religion is about going through the motions of belief without necessarily letting it get anywhere close to the core and the heart of who you are. And what it produces is often self-righteous, hypocritical people. It produces exclusiveness. It produces very little spiritual reality. And quite honestly, I'd rather chew my own toes than get religion. It has no interest to me, and I don't think it had any interest to Jesus either. What Jesus came to offer was relationship. He came teaching that you don't need to jump through hoops to get God to like you, because he already loves you. Enough to die for you. And he came to show that what God longs for in your life isn't a life of well-ticked religious boxes. Jesus isn't interested in that. It's a life where something of the heart and soul of you connects to something of the heart and soul of the God who made everything and who loves you beyond words. And suddenly you realize that, yes, my life may be far from perfect. Being a Christian isn't for people with perfect lives. I don't want to embarrass Bex or Julie, but I suspect if I said, put your hands up, everyone here who's got your life 100% sorted out, no more problems, no more issues, no more sadnesses, I don't think either of them would put their hands up. I wouldn't put my hand up. I doubt that there's a Christian in this room who would put their hands up. That is not what following Jesus is about. We still mess up. It's about being adopted by the God of the universe. It's about having a God who says, I love you so much, I want to adopt you as my own child and bring you into my family. It's about knowing that he promises that he is with you, no matter what. No matter what you go through, no matter where you are, no matter how you feel, no matter what you've done, he is with you. You don't have to be religious to have Jesus in your life. In fact, I think it's probably a bit of a disadvantage. But you do need to hear his words and put them into practice. And if the only words you've heard so far from Jesus are something along the lines of, I am here, come and get to know me a bit more, then don't walk away from that. If all you've heard him say so far is, I'm real, I exist, then don't walk away from that. If all you've heard him say so far is, I want to get to know you, don't walk away from that. Because if you do, that's like building on sand. Find out more. Get to know him. Julie and Bex will both tell you that you won't regret it. Find out more. Get to know him. In 1995, a literary agent called Christopher Little took on a previously unheard of author. And Christopher Little sent her manuscripts to a dozen different publishers, and each one sent back a letter of rejection saying, too long, too weird, too old-fashioned, don't give up your day job. It wasn't until the chairman of one of those publishing houses let his young daughter read the manuscript, and she begged him to read some more, begged him to find out what was going to happen next. It wasn't until that happened that Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone was picked up by a publisher, and the career of J.K. Rowling, who I suspect you've heard of, was launched. 12 different publishing agents had in front of them words that would eventually be worth almost £6 billion. And 12 different publishing agents said, nah. If you've heard Jesus' words, you've had an invitation which is worth infinitely more than the words of J.K. Rowling. You've had an invitation to a life lived in connection with the God who made you and who knows every detail of your life and who loves you beyond measure. Don't be like Sandman. Don't just hear that invitation and do nothing about it. Don't just walk away. I'd encourage you with all my heart, follow the example of Judy, follow the example of Bex. Find out for yourself. And so it might be that you're sitting here thinking, yes, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to jump in with both feet and I want to follow Jesus. If that's you, then please come and have a chat with one of us at the end of the service. We would love to talk to you. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to start you off on that journey. It is the biggest adventure of your life. It may be that you're thinking, I'm not ready to jump in with both feet, but I'd like to find out a bit more. I'm ready to dip a toe in. I'm ready to find out whether what these guys have been saying is real. Come and have a chat with us. We'd love to help you to find out for yourself. And it may be that you're sitting here and you've watched these guys getting baptized this morning, and as you've been sitting there and watching, God's been speaking to you and saying, it's about time you got baptized. And if that's you, then please come and have a chat with one of us at the end, because we'd love to talk to you about that. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to close by singing a song. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you promise to anyone who hears your words and who puts them into practice. Thank you that you promise us a complete new start. Thank you that you promise us complete forgiveness for everything that we have ever done wrong. Every time we've messed up, every time that we have done something that has hurt someone or hurt ourselves, thank you that you offer us a new start that wipes all of that away. Thank you that you take away not only the things that we do wrong, but our shame as well. The things in our history that we're embarrassed about, the things that we wish we'd never done, the places we wish we'd never gone, that you give us a fresh new start, clean from all of those things. And thank you that you adopt us into your family. You choose to make us your children. That you pour out your love on us, way beyond our ability to understand how loved we are. And thank you that you offer us a life lived with God right at the heart of it, knowing that we are never alone because you are with us. Thank you so much for what you offer to those that hear your words and who act on them. Lord, help us to take the next step with you in acting on whatever you're saying to us today. in Jesus' name. Amen.